the job takes you wherever it goes. It's just as simple as that, Frank. You know, I can cast my mind back many years ago. Well, our WPCs, we would have went to sudden death. And, you know, we had one particular lovely girl, and she would have took off her uniform and made tea and coffee for the people that had just lost one of their loved ones. You know, there's no proper job description as such, Frank. I mean, in the road traffic accidents, you know, everything's different. There's no proper, what you would call, job description for a police officer. There's a basic one, obviously. I mean, the protection of life is the first principle of policing. But, and you know, in respect of this guy, you know, or a female officer, whoever it happens to be, you know, they seem to have a beef about something, you know. And I think George Hamilton, he's apologised through decency rather than anything else. I don't think he was wrong for telling the person to dry your eyes and get on with it. It's just as simple as that. You know, that's the nature of policing and all a police officer does.
Yeah, you have to expect to be, some days, be a bit of a social worker, other days
of
to
course.
Be a paramedic.
Yeah, of course. We go with through basic training and first aid, of course. As long as we're in advanced training for gunshot wounds and stuff like that. You know, and I've seen some terrible sights, obviously, in business service. I wasn't PSNI. The predecessor to that. But, I mean, the job is exactly the same. There's no difference in policing. I mean, I have friends in LAPD and the SWAT team, believe it or not, who's ex-RUC, and he's exactly in the same position. You know, policing is the same no matter where you go in the world, unless you go to a third world, maybe country, but I'm talking the westernized civilized world. Policing is exactly the same no matter where you go. And I think George Hamilton, he's a very robust officer. Let's say I knew George a long time ago. George, I think, has 31 years service done, and he's a very strong character, what can he say?
Yeah, it comes across, actually, and I suggested it at the very beginning of the programme, and people have been saying it on text here coming through, that he seems like a born leader. He seems like the sort of guy who you would, you know, yes,
no,
that man is the boss.
And he's a team leader as well, and his command team he has around him, I can tell you. I've been doing a job in the private security sector, Frank, for many years, and still had the liaison with the PSNI. And I just know from speaking to senior officers, he's very well respected inside the job.
So should he have apologised then? When you get a sense of actually what he said to the policeman was acceptable, the union came in and the union said, oh no, this is not acceptable. This is making it difficult for our officers who are under incredible pressure. I actually think there's two wires getting crossed here. Police officers are under incredible pressure, but it shouldn't be for sometimes being a social worker, a paramedic or a childminder.
No, indeed. I mean, we all know the nature of policing in Northern Ireland, and it has been for many, many years. That's the obvious. There's a lot of pressure in the job. But if you talk about ordinary policing, if you want to talk about that, there's still a lot of pressure in the job. But I think we all went down. We didn't win with blindfolds on us. You know, when I first joined the job, I'll tell you, it's a bit of a wake-up call. I joined when I was 19 years of age, and I came out of ordinary industry. And it is a totally different scenario to be a police officer than working in, you know, say Shorts factory in the aircraft and industry or an ordinary other. It's a total, you know, it's totally different. And, yeah, was there a wake-up call for me at times? Yeah, of course it was. It doesn't matter how much training you get through. It's when you get into the practical side of things. But I'll tell you something, you just get down and you get on board. And it's a very rewarding job. I mean, to be actually sitting, as I referred to the young WPC, you know, she done this on a regular basis. We had this sudden death, and we went into some very, very bad areas, let's say, Frank, and I'll not mention where they were. But this young police officer in those days wasn't even armed. She took her uniform off, her tunic off, and said, right, I'll sit down and I make the tea, the coffee. She made sandwiches for people. She sent the armoured Land Rover away. She took an RT in case she needed assistance. And that was it. And she didn't groan about it. That was something that she did. She found it very, very rewarding. And as a very leading character, I'm not going to mention names here, whose mother died many years ago. And he actually sent a bunch of flowers to our police station for this police officer because of what he had done, what she had done for his family. And he wouldn't have been a friend. He wouldn't have been a friend, let's say. And we found that fantastic that he actually sent a big, massive bunch of flowers fired on.
Yeah, just out of interest, again, without naming the person, is it someone we'd instantly recognise as a name?
You would, yes, indeed.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting commentary.
Well, the person's actually deceased himself a few years ago. Very high profile. And, you know, and it's about winning hearts and minds as well, Frank. And I don't even mean in respect of the sectarian aspect of it here. Police officers throughout the world have got to gain respect of the public. A police service can't operate without the civilian population back, and the police force just cannot do that without the consent of the people. You can't police properly unless you do things like that. You know, and if this police officer is whinging about that, it tells me an awful lot about the person's character.
Yeah, Chris, interesting commentary. Okay, Chris, former RUC man, making reference indeed to this conversation, the public conversation between a modern-day police officer and the chief constable. In the end, the chief constable apologised. Quite a few of you on the texts are wondering why he apologised. It's coming up on 5 to 10. Chris, thank you.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Here for you.